It's a wonderful thing to know Jesus and to know him in your life. There are a lot of people here who do know the Lord Jesus, and there was a time in their lives when they didn't know him. And I can think of the time in my life when I didn't know him. I wished I did, but I didn't know him. And the Lord Jesus made himself known to me when I was about the age of 20, and he'd made me realize for years before I hadn't realized he was talking to me. And he talked to me years before about the sin in my life, and that I wasn't right with him. And one day I can remember very, very clearly, I was at up at Keele University at the end of my first year there, and I was in a room all on my own because everybody else had gone down at the end of term. I can't remember why I was still up there. And God really began to speak to me, and I felt that I was such a bad person that if the floor had opened up, I would have dropped straight down to hell. Now, I don't believe that hell is just under your feet. Don't take me to be saying that, but that was how I felt. And I knew that I needed Jesus. And the short answer to the whole thing is that I began, for the first time in my life, I think, really to pray and really to cry out to the Lord. And the Lord showed me a picture in my mind. It wasn't, a mystical vision or anything, but in my mind, I saw three crosses, and I saw Jesus on the middle cross, and I felt the Lord say to me in my heart, "He died for you." And for the first time in my life, first time in 20 years of my life, I knew that Jesus hadn't just died for all the world. He actually died for me, personally. And when God kind of revealed that to me, I simply believed it. I didn't do anything more than just believe it. And from that day to this, the whole direction of my life has been changed for the better, I hope. Okay, so I want to talk this evening on this subject. Jesus, the man who chopped history in two. Jesus, the man who chopped history in two. Every time you write a date on the top of a letter or wherever you might write a date, you're actually testifying to the man who chopped history in two. Today we write 2012. And why do we write 2012? If we were Muslims, we would write a completely different date, because they count their days from when Muhammad moved out of Medina and went to Mecca, or the other way around. I can't even remember which way around it was. But the interesting thing is that the whole world today counts its dates from when Jesus came. You go to Israel and you buy a newspaper, and there'll be a Jewish date on the newspaper, one side, but the date that all the Jews look at is the Christian date. They'll look at the Christian date, 2012. And you go to Japan, where, they're Shinto people. What's the date on their newspapers? 2012. And without realizing it, they're telling you that there was a man who came into the world and he changed things so much that he chopped history in half, and he left one half, which is BC, and the other half, which is AD. AD means the year of our Lord. BC means before Christ. I'm sure you have heard that the BBC has told us that we mustn't say AD and BC anymore. We have to say BCE, which is before the common era. And we have to say CE, which is the common era. Well, what's the common era? Common era is the Christian era. It's since Jesus came. So Jesus came and he actually divided history in half. Now, I want to read you just two verses out of one of Paul's letters, and it's Galatians chapter 4, and it's just verses 4 and 5, two very short verses. And it says this: when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. When the fullness of time was come, you know, God had in mind, right from the very beginning when he created the heaven and the earth, he had in mind that he was going personally to come down into this world in the person of his Son, Jesus. Jesus is an eternal being. He's always been around. We can't understand eternity. It's quite beyond our thoughts. But if you just imagine something that goes back so far, it hasn't got a beginning, and goes forward so far, it hasn't got an end, well, that's eternity. Somebody have said a good illustration of eternity is a ring, because there's no beginning to it and no ending to it. But eternity, God is eternal, God the Father is eternal, and Jesus is God. He is eternal, and yet he came down to be a human being. And it says here, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. Now, he wouldn't have been really human if he didn't have a mum. And so he was actually born of a human mother. And that was why he had, just like you or I have, a human body. He had a human mind. He had, I don't know what colour his eyes were. You tend to think that people who live in the Middle East, they all have brown eyes. Maybe he had brown eyes. I've seen some of these pictures that show Jesus as having long blonde hair and bright blue eyes and a pale face. I think probably not. I think he was probably a fairly typical Middle Eastern person, because his mum was. His mum was a Jewish girl. And so God actually had a time when he was going to send his Son, and he chose that time to send him. And he came for a very special reason. And it says he came to redeem. When you redeem something, you pay down a price so that the thing that you redeem becomes yours. Nowadays, you know, pawn shops are coming back. I don't mean porn, P-O-R-N. I'm talking about porn, P-A-W-N. Pawn shops where people take things in and get money for them, and then they can go back later on and buy them back at a higher price than what they gave to them. And I believe they're coming back into fashion. And very strange, really. But to get your grandfather's watch or whatever it was that you pawned in the shop back again, you have to redeem it. You have to pay a price. And Jesus came to pay a price. And we were the people that needed to be redeemed. We needed to be bought back at a price. And so he came in order to redeem. Now, I want to say several things about the Jesus who came. First of all, it comes out of this verse, Jesus actually came from God. Jesus wasn't just any child. You know, every child that comes into the world, there's always a mum who says, "Oh, isn't he lovely?" You know, and fathers who say, well, they don't like to tell the mum that he's pretty ugly, you know, but they say, "Oh, yes, he's really nice, isn't he?" And that's every child that comes into the world. But Jesus was completely unique. He was different from any other child who was ever born, because he was the Son of God. He was an eternal being, far above angels, and an uncreated being. In fact, he was God. Second thing, Jesus truly became human. He didn't just come here and look as if he was human. He didn't just kind of have an appearance of being human, but he did become completely human. And it says in the Bible that God was manifest in the flesh. In other words, he came with a body like you and I have. So he really was human, became one of us. And this tells you something about how much God loves human beings. Why would he send his own Son into the world of human beings, which was a pretty awful world at that time, and it hasn't improved all that much now, except for having washing machines, which I'm very grateful for. He sent his son into the world to become a human being. Must have loved us an awful lot to do that. And I think Jesus must have loved us an awful lot to be willing to become one of us. And this is what the Bible says. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So Jesus became truly human so that we could actually believe in him. And the third thing about Jesus, it's a thing that people sometimes miss out. He didn't only come here to be human, he actually came here to be Jewish as well. You know, the Jewish people are some of the most hated people on earth. Did you know that? They really are. And you get some people who say awful things about Jews just because they're a Jew. Oh, him, he's a Jew, you know. And they'll say, oh, that old fella, he's a bit of a Jew, and that means, you know, he's greedy for money or something like that. And people say that about the Jewish people. But when God sent his son into the world, he didn't send him down to become a Brit. He didn't send him down to become an American, all American. He didn't send him down to be a Frenchman. He didn't send him down to be a German or anything else. He sent him down to be a Jew. So that was a very interesting thing, it seems to me. And he sent Jesus to become a Jew and to bear a Jewish name. You know, Jesus is a Jewish name. The real name is Yeshua. That's the Jewish form of it. And you know what it means? It means God is Savior. That's the meaning of his name. So you can see then how greatly God must esteem his chosen people, Israel. Fourth thing, Jesus came to redeem, and he came to redeem Jewish people and Gentile people. Gentile people, that's the rest of us. And he loves us all the same. And how did he do it? How did he redeem us? Well, it's quite simply by this. He did it by dying on a cross. That was how he paid the price for our sins. You know, when Jesus was going around with his disciples, he started teaching them and he taught them simple kind of things. But when he was just in the last 6 months of his ministry, he began to teach them that the reason he'd come was in order to die on a cross. And he began to say, I'm going up to Jerusalem. They're going to take me. They're going to beat me. They're going to nail me to a cross, and then I'll rise again the third day. Well, the disciples were so absolutely shocked. And Peter even rebuked him and said, no, this will never happen to you. And Jesus said, no, it will happen to me. And Peter, you're acting as Satan's mouthpiece. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. And Jesus then, from that point on, he began to teach them more and more about the purpose of why he came. He was going to go up to Jerusalem. He was going to die on a cross. And he said that the Son of Man, that's him, he'd come to give his life a ransom for many. And what's a ransom? It's something that redeems. It's a payment that you pay down to set somebody free. You know when the pirates in Somalia or something go and capture a ship, and they steal the ship, and then they kidnap all the people on the ship, and then they say, well, we will release them if you pay a ransom, and you've got to pay a lot to get these people back. And you know, God looks down on the human race, that's you and me, and he realized that every single one of us needs a ransom. And Jesus gave his life a ransom for many, for the remission of sins. To forgive our sins, Jesus gave his life a ransom. And in order to give his life a ransom, it wasn't just that he came here and said, oh, right, I'm a ransom. Jesus went up to Jerusalem and he knew what was going to happen to him. He knew it from the very beginning. And, you know, it's an awful thing. If you look forward to something awful that's going to happen to you, I think it makes it seem all the worse, doesn't it? And Jesus knew what was going to happen. They were going to take him. They were going to nail his hands to a wooden cross. They were going to put a great iron nail through his feet. And they were going to leave him there to die. And it was going to take 6 hours. Started at 9 a.m, finished at 3 p.m. Sometimes when people were crucified, it took days for them to die. But I'm just going to say something now that seems a bit odd to say. They were quite merciful to the people who were being crucified on the day that Jesus died. There were three of them. There were two thieves and Jesus. And because it was Friday, the day before the Jewish Sabbath, the Jews said, well, we don't mind the Romans crucifying people, but we don't want them to be left on the cross on the Sabbath. So at the end of Friday, you've got to kill them off. So what they did, they just came along with a bit of 4 before and cracked their shins, broke the bones of their shins, and the shock would just kill them. But they came to Jesus and they found that he was already dead. They couldn't believe he was already dead. So one of the officers took a spear and pierced his side. And out came water and blood. Now, water and blood means that your blood has started to separate into serum and the red stuff. And it looked like water and blood coming from his side. So it proved that he had really died. And so therefore they didn't break his legs and they took him down. And it's a very interesting thing that John in his gospel says they did this because it was written in the Bible, not a bone of him must be broken. And it was something to do with the Passover lamb that was offered to rescue and to ransom the people of Israel out of Egypt. And when they killed the Passover lamb, they were to be very careful that they didn't break one single bone in the body of the lamb. It hadn't to be done. And so when Jesus died, he died as our Passover lamb. Not one single bone in his body was broken. The other two fellows who were crucified with him, their legs were broken, but not his. And you know, it's very interesting a thing that Jesus once said. He said, nobody takes my life from me. I give it up of myself. And do you know that Jesus Christ decided when he was going to die? They didn't just nail him to the cross and leave him to die. But when he'd done the job that he came to do, which was to suffer for our sins, it's very interesting. 9 a.m, he's crucified. He says various things off the cross. The first thing he says is, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So the very first thing he did was to forgive everybody who was involved in his death. And then when it came to about midday, a strange darkness came right over the land so you could hardly see your hand in front of your face. And Jesus, for 3 hours, was completely silent on the cross. He didn't say a single word for 3 hours. And at the end of the 3 hours, he suddenly spoke out with a very loud voice and he said, it is finished. What he meant was, I've now paid for all the sins of every human being who's ever going to believe in me. He said that. And then he said something much quieter that not everybody heard. And he said this, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. So he said, Father, I'm leaving now. I'm leaving this body on the cross and I'm coming. I'm coming to you. And so Jesus decided when he was going to die. He didn't just keep suffering. He suffered until he had done the job that he came to do. And through doing this, Jesus redeemed us. He paid the price. And you know, the price for you and me to be forgiven, the price for you and me to be able to go to heaven, The price for you and me to be able to become Christians and receive Jesus into our life, the price was Jesus Christ suffering on the cross. There was no other other price that was enough. You know, some people say, well, what you need to do, you need to repent. You need to tell the Lord you won't do all those things anymore. That's not good enough. It won't do it. There's only one thing that's going to get you forgiven, and that is what Jesus did on the cross. And it tells us so plainly in the Bible that all we have to do, once we realize that we're sinners, is to turn to Jesus and to say, Lord, thank you for dying for me on that cross. Thank you for rising from the dead. Will you please forgive me my sin and become my Savior? It's as simple as that. And people want to make it so complicated. They want to have all these sacraments and ins and outs and things you're supposed to do. And cross yourself and bow down and all this. You don't have to do any of those things. All you have to do is to realize what Jesus has done for you and accept it and receive him into your life. Wonderful. So that was done in the fullness of time. But thinking about the fullness of time, you know, God has a time for everything. As far as Jesus was concerned, it was a special time for Christ to be born, a special time for Christ to die. You know, it's interesting that Christ died at the time of the Passover, the Jewish Passover. And it was the time God had set in his own calendar for Jesus to die. Wouldn't have been good enough if Jesus had died in the autumn. Wouldn't have been good enough if he died in the summer. Wouldn't have been good enough if he died in the winter. He had to die in the spring at the time of Passover because he was the Passover lamb. Okay. And there was a special time for Christ to return. Christ is going to return. He's coming back. And when he comes back, well, we don't know when that is. We've been told not to try and compute the time. But Jesus himself said, of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So there's a special time for everything that Jesus did. But there's also a special time for us as well. It tells us in the Bible that there is a time to be born and a time to die. Every one of us has been born. And God actually set a special time for every one of us to be born. But also, he set a special time for every one of us to die. Every one of us got to die. And it's written in Hebrews, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. You know, some people say you're going to be reincarnated again and you'll come back all sorts of different times. You might come back to be a camel or a donkey or a frog or whatever, or another human being. But my Bible says it is given to man once to die, only once, and after this comes the judgment. In our country, we register every single birth and every single death. Nobody can be born or die in our country without somebody knowing about it. Now, aren't we clever? But don't you think God is even cleverer than that? Because God is so clever that he knows exactly when we are born and he knows exactly when we shall die. And the Bible says we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And if we are really honest, there is no way we could stand before him and say, oh, well, I'm really a good person. You know, Lord, you ought to be proud to have me as a human being. You should really realize what a good man I am, what a good woman I am. And that's not the point. We've got to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And, you know, Jesus will be able to say to us, we might give him all sorts of excuses for the way we've lived. Say, well, we can't help it, Lord, you know. I was dropped on my head when I was a baby. Whatever it was, you know, my mother wasn't very nice to me. Different things happened to me at school, and that's why I'm such a nasty person. And Jesus would say, look, folks, I've been one of you. I've been through every single thing that you've been through. I didn't sin, so don't give me excuses. But you know, the Lord Jesus, when we come before the judgment seat of Christ, he also has a record. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And he has a record in which every single person is recorded. And the most important thing that's recorded in that book is if you or I have put our trust in Jesus, and you get put in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then if you've done that, you can come before the judgment seat of Christ and he will say, you're forgiven. Anything you've ever done that's wrong, I've forgotten about it. I've put it away. And the reason I put it away is because I died for you. Jesus was actually born to die. The angel spoke in a dream to Joseph, the husband of Mary, and he said these words, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And how he saved them, how he saved us, he died for us. So Jesus was born to die. And there's something we need to do as well in the face of all that Jesus did. And it's quite simply this. First of all, to admit something. We need to admit that we are sinners, that we needed somebody to die for us. If we don't admit that, then we can move no further. And the second thing we have to do, and it's very simple, is simply to believe that Jesus came to die for us and give his life for us. Isn't that simple? And the third thing, be very useful to do, is to consider what will happen if you don't do those things, if you don't admit you're a sinner and you don't believe what Jesus has done. Because if you don't, well, that's you're lost. And the fourth thing is to do something about it. I'm sure you've all learned your ABC. Admit, believe, consider, and do. Do something about it. And what do? You accept Jesus as your Savior into your life to come and live within you. Okay, let's just pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for this wonderful gospel, this wonderful truth of God. Thank you for what Jesus did on our behalf, and that we needed him to do it, and he came and he did it. And what he did those 2,000 years ago on that cross still has an effect for us if we will put our faith in Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that 2,000 years on, we're now 2,000 years nearer the return of Jesus. And it may not be very long before he's back. So we pray that we might be ready for Jesus to come, and that we might really know our sins forgiven, and our home is in heaven. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.